you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. For some of us, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Well, look who came in. Oh, he already know he dumb. He already know he dumb. Daddy, he came to see if I was just as dumb as you are. Excuse me for being tacky, but you don't know how big time this is.
Yes, sir.
To see two sinners in the house of the Lord. One more time. That going on both of y'all obituaries, amen? Malachi chapter 3. My brothers and my sisters, we at the Brooklyn Church during the month of November, only one time a month, and talk about stewardship and tithing. If you've been around me before, I don't talk about it enough. I don't browbeat you. Some people get mad when they come on tithing Sunday. Like, God dog it, why I came on tithing Sunday? Oh, but it's a good word for you. It's more than just money, amen? Stewardship is about being a good steward, about being a good holder, about having good discernment and wisdom of all that God has given us. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he has allowed us to be stewards. He has allowed us to be caretakers of everything that he has given. Your prosperity, your material blessings are just one part of that stewardship. We don't think about polluting the air and polluting the land. We're not good stewards when it comes to God's green earth. Amen. And one day we have dealt with that and the environmental challenges. But the Lord has asked me to just talk today about tithing just for a few moments. I promise you, you'll still be in first line for the chicken at the Publix. Amen. The Bible asks a query. The Bible raises a query found in Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the question to the answer is in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about tithing. Amen. Let's talk about tithing and training. All right, let's talk about tithing and then some training after services. If you have attended church for at least 6 months, you most likely have heard Malachi 3 and 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. That there might be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. In some churches you will find this written on your tithing envelopes. In some churches you will find this on a bulletin. Some churches you will have the whole congregation stand up and recite it in unison. Some churches that browbeat you over the head about tithing and a $500 line and $100 line and $50 line, $10 million line, and what else you got line. But we have never had that spirit, and we'll never have that posture, because your tithes and your offerings are between you and the Lord. There are some old school churches that used to even post what you gave in on the bulletin out in the front lobby, and ain't nobody got time to be looking at what you give, no how, amen, and whether you are tithe or not, because you blocking your own blessings if you don't. I will be honest with you that I did not become a tithe until I became a pastor, and might not have been in the first year, just to be honest, because you ain't being honest right now, no how, and you weren't honest with God a few minutes ago when you tipped God instead of tithe to God. And I was convicted to move Elder Lakin, because no way I could teach tithing without being a tither. And I could not convict others to believe if I did not believe in his power and in his presence. And I will tell you that since I started tithing and now what am a consistent tither, and it's to the point now that I just have Wells Fargo automatically do it every 2 weeks. So I don't have to worry about cutting a check. I don't have to worry about moving my thumb on my cell phone. Wells Fargo just sends the church every 2 weeks my tithe. Hint, hint. I don't have to worry about budgeting. I don't have to worry about whether I got or not, because it's already been sent. I ain't talking about my tithing right now. I'm talking about your blessings that has already been sent. Tithing is not about the amount, even though we argue and debate whether it's an Old Testament custom, whether it's a New Testament custom, why Jesus only talked about it once or twice. Is it still relevant to us today in 2019? And how do I equate fruit and vegetables and cumin with my check? Oh, yeah, it gets real quiet on this Sunday. I'm saying nothing. How do I equate? Do I tithe off my gross, or do I tithe off my net? Do I got to tithe off my refund check from the government? Do I, if I'm unemployed, do I tithe off an unemployment check? What do I do? And the answer is, you do what God has commanded you to do. You have to be obedient. Tithing is not about the amount. It is about obedience and believing God's word. That's all that is about, amen? And knowing that you will reap what you sow. Now, my brothers and my sisters, the Bible makes it very clear that we are to give a tenth of what God has blessed us with. Tithing first begins in Genesis, chapter 14, verses 20, where Abram tithed unto God. After being in battle, he came back and he tithed unto God. And he gave a tithe to the king at that time, the king of that people of Salem at that time, Melchizedek. And he gave him 10% mark of all the spoils that he had earned in war, in battle. He gave him 10% of everything he had gained and earned in battle. Let me try this side. They're a little bit more intelligent. He gave him 10% of everything he had earned in war and in battle. He gave him everything that he had gained in war and in battle. All of you who battle to wake up every morning and go to work, all of you who battle with this traffic and it's about to get worse, all of you battle with the carpool line and just want to drop your kids off at the corner and say walk, we battle every day to get what we have. Because anything that is good and perfect ain't going to come easily. And so whether you know it or not, every day you clock in and clock out or just show up or don't show up, we're in a battle. And so everything that God has given you comes with some pain and some pressing, some 12-hour shifts, some 4 days on and 3 days off and don't know when you get back on again. That is a battle. And God says after you get battle, there's going to be spoils of war. And just as Abram gave 10% back to the king for his spoils of war, you're supposed to come back and give the king your 10%. And he comes back and he gives him his 10%. And that wasn't the last time. It just wasn't in Genesis. It's carried out through Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy that the people of God, after they had been spared and after they were in the promised land, continued to tithe, continued to bring back unto the Lord through the Levites, which are priests of the temple, a 10% of everything that the earth had given them. Now, my brothers and my sisters, there's a different type of understanding, a different type of pathos, and a different type of respect of God when you realize that everything that you have to live, which is called subsistence, comes from the earth. When everything you had to eat, you had to get yourself. When everything you grew, you had to grow yourself. When everything you had to build came from the lumber and the teal that God has given. When you were moved and your life was moved and challenged by the atmosphere and by weather and by dynamics that you had no control over. See, we don't have that posture and that understanding because we can control some things by what store we go to. And what we buy. Especially now that you can buy anything with a thumb just with a swipe. Oh, praise God for it too. And so our understanding of thanking God It's different because Amazon delivered it. I swear my wife worked for UPS. Anybody need any free boxes? But when everything came from God and not from your hands, you had a deeper appreciation and you sought to please God because you understood by pleasing God, he would then in turn please you. But you want to make the checkout clerk happy. You want to make Bezos and Bezos, whatever you pronounce the man name from Amazon, happy. And he got so much money, he don't know what he got and where it is. Why won't you please God? By giving back to God that which he has also blessed you with. For the Bible says that you will bring all the tithes into the storehouse where you attend church, where you claim to be your Bethel spot. Not to your fraternity, not to your sorority, not to your Elks, not to your Masons, not to your Capitol Lodge, not even to United Way. Even though they do a good work, that ain't your storehouse. This is your storehouse. And so the Bible says, so there will be meat for my people. In other words, they're talking in a time where it was the church that had to provide services to the people, such as something to eat. This tithe was kind of like our tithe taxes that are used for Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, where it was the temple that redistributed all the money through the temple to the people so that people could live. That's why we call the first deacons into account in Acts, because the prophets and the apostles had a problem distributing what was called the widow's mite. Because everything that flowed came from the temple. And that's why we pass that first trail of mission when people have a light bill due, when people have rent due, when people have mortgage due, when they have problems with medical bills. We provide assistance to them because there's meat in the house so the people can live. Now, we ain't paying for your cable. We ain't paying for your hair to get did. We ain't paying for your nails and all that. We're not paying for your trip. But if you need to live, the church should be here for you. And we can only do that not by prayer. Scanner don't take prayer. Scanner just pray and you pay. I'm sorry, Dominion now. So he said, bring it all into the storehouse so that there will be might meat for thine people. My brothers and my sisters, Malachi is very important. And the problem is, Sister Dunbar, that people don't know about Malachi. Because we only read Malachi 3 and 10. We don't deal nothing with else but just 3 and 10. Who is Malachi? Where he come from? Is he my cousin? Malachi is an Old Testament prophet. His book is last in the Old Testament because we do believe that he was the last prophet that wrote, because before God shut up the heavens. The heavens are shut up for 400 years, Dad, between Malachi and Matthew. And no written word or no prophecy came from anywhere. 400 years, the same amount of time that the Israelites spent in captivity. 400 years, that derivative of 40, which is 40. Whenever you see 40 or 400, is always a period, McGraw, of preparation. And see, there's always going to be a period of preparation. And here's one thing, you always are going to need silence during this period of preparation. All right, so don't get mad when people want to know why you ain't answer your cell phone, why your phone off, because I'm asleep, Daddy, listening to the Lord as he talks to me in my daily nap. Glad you're here this Sunday. 400 years is shut up. No, it's no talking, nobody writing, because there's got to be a period of silence during your period of preparation for your promotion. That's a period of silence. That's why Grandma said you got to steal away. Wish I had an old time witness up in that you got to steal away. Sometimes I know you're married, I know the two shall become one, but sometimes you got to get one with God and just spend some quality time with God alone so you can hear what the Lord is trying to tell you. So Malachi is speaking to the children of the exile. He's speaking to the children who have been exiled in Babylonia after they had come back, after they had rebuilt the temple Erica, after they had restored it, after they had rededicated, after they had gone back to their own wicked ways. And he reminds them that the reason why you were exiled, the reason why you were robbed from your homeland, is because of your disobedience, and now you're doing it again. All right, all
And they ask, how are we doing it again? You're doing it again because you are robbing God of his tithes and offerings. And you sit next to a robber right now. I got a lawyer right there for it. But you sitting right now to a thief right now who just stole from God by tipping God and not tithing unto God. He says, you're robbing God of your tithes and your offerings. You've already been in trouble. And you ain't learned yet. Because one of the things that tithing also teaches you is how to budget. To not be wasteful with your money. If you know that you already got to give God his 10, that you got 90 to work on. And those of us who are true tithers know that God will make more than that 90. I mean, God will make more than that 90 because you know that you got it and God going to give it right back to you. And so he's teaching them you are robbing God and then there's corruption in the land. You need to be on this impeachment committee. Because he sees all the corruption in the land that begins with the people and flows up. You know, we think about power that flows down. But every tweet we think is dumb is feeding his power. And feeding his base. And feeding walls being built not between the Rio Grande and Mexico, but walls being built right now in our own communities. And I don't know how you can logically look at anything that is coming out of these impeachment hearings and not see how corrupt and devilish the orange man is. And he can't even get the top 10 white. And then your ex-governor, I ain't going, he ain't never lied to me. Which means he done lied to somebody else, but he cool with me because he ain't never lied to me. Lady, if he lied to somebody else, he done lied to you too. Because once you prove to me that you're a liar, I know everything you say might be a lie coming out your mouth. I'd come back next Sunday for that. And so he says there's corruption in the land because you're robbing God of what belongs to God. You are really a thief. But bring it to God and watch God do some things. He first teaches us, and it's going to be short, there's a divine responsibility in tithing. There's divine responsibility in tithing means that you are responsible for giving back to God, which God has already begun from you. And that's a divine responsibility, even knowing that it is from on high, is a dictate from God, and we are responsible for everything that God has given us. He's allowed us to be caretakers, like he allowed Adam to be caretakers of his garden, but in the garden, Adam and Eve messed it up. Are we responsible for what God has given us? Are we responsible for our finances? Are we responsible for our family budgets? Or are we wasteful? Thank you for your answer, Job. Are we responsible enough? Can you trust God with the 10 knowing you're going to make it on the 90? That's why he says, prove me. He says, prove me. She says, prove me. He says, prove me. I will show you. And there are many of us who will confess that once you became a tither, once you became a tither, Daddy gave you the checkbook. Don't tell nobody, but there's somebody in here who does not know what I make until the W-2s come out. Don't tell them. They don't know what I be doing with their money. But you know why they don't care? Number one, he got more. And he trusts me. You think I'm talking about? He got more. And he trusts me. Let me try this on this side for the smart people. He got more, and he trusts me. Now, come y'all one more time. Come on, come on, come on. He got more. Anybody know he got more? He got more. He got more. He got more. He got more. If Alexa show up in your neighbor's driveway, they more on the lot. If your cousin get a new house, they building some more. You ain't got to be never jealous about what somebody else has material. They made two. And if you are responsible, help me, Holy Ghost. I feel my preacher coming on. If you are responsible with the little things that God
God give you. If you're responsible with that Corolla, if you wash that Corolla, change the oil on the Corolla, he'll give you a Cadillac. Yes! But you got to be responsible for the little thing that God gives you. You can't get no wife unless you give your middle school little girlfriend Valentine's candy. And then there's going to be divine redistribution. There's divine redistribution. There's responsibility within this redistribution. We're talking about that now, in the past, about, you know, redistributing wealth, taking wealth from the 1% and redistribute it. All right, changing tax codes and laws so they pay their fair share so it's redistributed. And, you know, the powers that be, you know, they don't like that because they don't think they worked hard for it and it belongs to them. But you let a hurricane come through Casey and take that Amazon plant all the way out. Ain't nothing belong to us. Everything we got loaned and leased. I know the joke is that you've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Well, let me testify, I ain't never seen one. And I tell you this, when they take your rings off that nice watch and everything off you before we bury you, somebody else going to be wearing your clothes. Somebody else going to be driving your car. Somebody else going to be drinking your liquor before your body get cold. Ain't none of this stuff belong to us. But God has a way of redistributing what you need. God has a way of taking that is from the powerful, from the wicked, and giving it to those who need it. If we bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse and be obedient to God, we don't have to worry about no bank loan. We don't have to worry about going to First Citizens for anything. We can get everything from here. Capital South too. I know. Yeah. Capital South too. Main Street. Give me the address when we get back. He will do it if we are obedient to him. And finally, my brothers, after the divine responsibility, after the divine redistribution, there's going to be divine retribution. Now, this word retribution means two things. It is getting back a reward, or it's getting back punishment. Retribution. It's getting back a reward or getting back punishment. Getting back a reward or getting back punishment. Getting back a reward or getting back punishment. And I'm going to allow you to answer that question for yourself. Because you do believe that you reap what you sow. And you always believe that you reap what you sow when someone has done evil unto you and you want them to reap. You want evil people to reap what they're supposed, especially when they have done you wrong. You want to give them to God, not out of purity of your heart, but you want to give them to God so God will get them. Be honest. So you believe in that concept except when it comes to tithes and offerings. You got cafeteria Christianity, where you go through the cafeteria line and say, I'll take some of that, but I don't want none of that. I'll take some of that, I don't want none of that. But you can't take a cafeteria line approach to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the word of God. You got to take it all, not just that will help you today. And there is going to be retribution. And only your heart will dictate whether you get rewarded, McGraw, or whether you get punished. That's why the woman who gave two mites gave more than the rich folk. Because she gave all that she had. See, my brothers and my sisters, those rich folk gave more mites than she gave. She only had two to give. But the Lord noticed that she gave. I said, the Lord knows that she gave. I said, the Lord knows that she gave. I said, the Lord knows that she gave. And I heard John said that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, Jesus understood that his father gave him. He gave him. And when the woman gave, Jesus understood that she was acting like his father. And when we give us all, because God has given us all, that was more than any amount of money. Because it came from the heart. So I ask of you today, get your heart right. Get your heart right. And decide for yourself, what will your retribution be? Will it be a reward
or whether it be punishment. At the conclusion of this service, you will find four ushers at our four doors. There's someone who lied to God earlier today. There's someone who robbed God earlier today. Don't get arrested today. God, our Father, in your Son Jesus' name, we thank you. For those of us who already believe in the power of tithing, believe in the power of giving you that which you already so rightly deserve, God. But God, we hope that your word, and the purity of your word, and the heart of your word will convict someone who robbed you earlier to make up for that which they have done. Nobody's looking, nobody's watching. It's just between you and them. But we want to make it right with you today, God. And we thank you, God, for your power of redistributing wealth. Your power for making sure that we have everything that we need. You won't give us everything that we want, God, but you certainly have given us everything we need, because truthfully, the only thing we needed this morning was a little water and a little air, and a little air and a little water, God, to survive, God. And so if there was water and air in our bodies this morning, we should say thank you, God, for life. Thank you, God, for sending Senator Kay Patterson our way. Thank you, God, for his testimony. And that one tongue, not 10,000, that one tongue that has given you and continues to give you praise, God. For everywhere he goes, he tells his story. That he knows it wasn't the doctors. He knows it wasn't the nurses. He knows it wasn't the oncologists. That was you, God, his specialist, that has saved him, God. And thank you, God, that he's still a beacon of light to our community, God. That everywhere he goes, he lets his little light shine. And the people of God just delight in his service to humanity, God. God, we ask, like you did for Hezekiah, continue to lengthen his days, God. The young boys and young girls who need to hear from him and need to see him and hear his story. All of us are beneficiaries of his fight. All of us are beneficiaries of my father's fight of being black legislators in the 70s. Right after Jim Crow, but still being lynched, not physically, but lynched mentally. And occupationally, not being respected as equal to their peers. But thank you, God, they didn't give up. And that they're still on the battlefield, God. God, thank you again for this day and the meaning thereof. And now, God, if there's someone who wants to give their life to Christ, someone who wants to sign up with you, God, someone who wants to get in your will, not just in your will that's on paper, God, but get in your will, which is the way that you would have for their life. I open up the doors of your heart, your church to them right now, not Brooklyn's doors, but open up the doors of your heart, because I know you will let them in your heart and you will get in their heart, God. There's a two-way street, God. So, God, we invite someone to come to your presence, to your relationship right now, in your darling son Jesus' name. There might be someone here that's been looking for a church home that's new to our community, and they want to be rooted and grounded in a place that they can call home. We invite them to Jesus right now, God, and we thank you, God, for this day and all the meaning thereof. In your name we do pray. Amen. Again, there might be one today. There might be one today. We don't even need no music. We don't need no song. We just need conviction. You know, sometimes we browbeat you and you let the music lift you up. And the music and the beat move your soul and stir up your spirit. But there is but one Christ Jesus, and he'll do it all. My preaching mentor, William Augustus Jones, said, we don't need no gimmicks to get people to God. If you just lift up the master, they'll come. Is there one today that wants to give their life to Christ? Is there one today who wants to fellowship with the Brooklyn Church?